With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
For your ride home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa. Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Grady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it is good to have you listening. We're getting ready for Atlanta United tonight against Monterrey down here. We are broadcasting live from the Gulch, Mike, and folks starting to get off work. The tailgate's starting to amp up a little bit more, and we said this. It would be great. We just saw Jason Longshore down here. He said if we can get one in the first 30, that'd be great.
Right. Now, again, guys, they are a super club, and if we could only have held on, all the American teams, if you've been watching the CONCACAF Champions League, have all given up goals late. Unfortunately for us, it was two goals, and it was too late. And now we got a big mountain to climb tonight. But the folks from Faction here, the folks from Terminus Legion, make some noise, you soccer fans. There he is. One guy follows instructions. So come on down and join the party here in the Gulch. If you're just getting off work, 8 o'clock, little tip, you'll hear it on Star 94.1, our sister station. The Hawks are on 92.9 The Game.
All right, guys, let's talk about the Falcons and, more importantly, what's going on with free agency as it became official today at 4 o'clock. Now, if you listen to the show and you know yesterday Mike and I were all over Jamon Brown and James Carpenter, the two guards the Falcons went out and signed. And so, you know, those deals, by the way, Brown, 3 years, $18.7 million, and Carpenter, 4 years, $21 million. But, Mike, to put it in simple terms, the money that they saved by restructuring Matt Ryan's deal and moving that money forward, turning it into a signing bonus, is the money they use to sign these guys when you talk about what they'll count against the cap.
Yep, Bo Morgan did the math, and then our buddy Joel Corey confirmed it because, you know, Bo will make sure he's doing it right. But, no, Bo had the numbers, though, as you said, $7 million that Matt saves. And then you basically, Carl, are able to get the guys which are going to help protect Matt Ryan, more importantly, run the ball so we can put teams away. The inability to run the football down the stretch and those losses, especially the losses at Mercedes-Benz, the Bengals game. Of course, the defense was struggling at that one, too. But, Carl, we've got to be able to run the ball effectively, and with all the money invested in Matt and what Julio's monster deal is going to look like based on what just happened with, hey, who knows, Odell Beckham's deal might be bigger than what we just saw Antonio Brown get. He wants a new deal from Cleveland.
Yeah, I think there may be an adjustment there. I still think, you know, Julio's going to be the $20 million guy when it's all said and done. But for us, you know, when you talk about the Falcons and what these two guys mean, guys, our O-line has been revamped. And Dan Quinn, this is going back to at the end of the season, and certainly we were talking about this at the start of the offseason when Dan Quinn said, keep two guys. Those two guys were Alex Mack and our left tackle, Jake Matthews, and scrap the rest. Well, he's kind of lived up to his word. And the other news today is we find out that Ryan Schrader is getting let go. He saves $3.95 million in cap space. Schrader was a guy, Mike, that we talked about for the last few weeks on this program.
Now, a lot of guys were asking us on our text line brought to you by Salmon Brothers, same number you used to call it at 404-741-0929. Guys were asking, does that mean we'll still go get a new tackle? Well, a backup tackle, because remember, Ty Sombrello, he will be projected as your right tackle unless you find somebody in the draft who does an amazing job this camp out at Flowery Branch to win the job. But Sombrello's your guy on the right, Matthews on the left, and then now we've beefed things up with a guy in Jamon Brown who, despite having a drug suspension earlier in the season, came on, as we said yesterday, did a really good job for the Giants. And anybody associated with Alabama and Nick Saban, I'm excited to get on my team.
Yeah.
Maybe if it was, even if it is like 8 or 9 years too late. Talking about James Carpenter.
I think that the way I'm looking at this, Mike, is we went through four guards last year. Two of them hurt, obviously Andy Levitre and Fusco. The two guys that stepped in for those guys didn't play up to par. These two guys are better, and the Falcons are paying them starter money. Now, how much better? That's still to be determined. I don't know if anybody right now could tell you how much better we're going to run the football on 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1, how much better we'll be in the red zone. And to your point, at the end of games where we need to run the ball and finish out games, mm-hmm. those are things that have plagued our football team. But, guys, our guards were not any good last year.
Plus, Alex Mack's not getting any younger. And remember, for all the good things Alex Mack has done, and he's been worth every penny. But again, when you've got guys like Schweitzer on roller skates and Levitre, who just can't stay healthy
That's
with
right.
the arm issue. So, I mean, we had such continuity in 16. Those guys played for all 16 of those games. And now the last 2 years, unfortunately, we haven't had anything close to that on either side of the center. So at the bare minimum, give me 1 year with these guys. Give me 1 year, one chance. Because let's be honest, we're going to keep throwing spackle on the offensive line unless we go crazy and draft somebody with a high offensive line pick. Let's hope that Brown and Carpenter can do things. The good news is Jamon Brown's a young guy.
He is.
That's the positive. You know, and the Giants are strapped for cash. That's probably why they couldn't come with a serious offer for him. So, I mean, I know it looks like fish heads and rice, or it's, you know, it's just, it doesn't look that impressive. No one could afford the top guards and the top tackles because the market's been reset across the board.
Yeah.
I think this, again, is, from a financial standpoint, it's more than what I expected. They're spending more on these guys than I expected them to. But the fact
we thought maybe one guy.
Exactly.
Right.
But the fact that we got two sends the message that our offensive line is going to look completely different, and it should. It's been our number one priority this offseason. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. We're down here at the Gulch. Of course, Falcon Report always brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Yeah, man. How about a medium three-topping pan pizza with that delicious crust? It's like butter. Call right now. Go to Domino's on carryout, domino's.com, medium three-topping pan pizza for $7.99. Speaking of money, okay, so we took Schrader off the books. It's a shame because it was a great story. Valdosta State, undrafted free agent. Mm. They gave him a contract, and they lost all confidence in him. He's gone. At the point that we lose him, we also find that Vic Beasley's contract is guaranteed for 2019.
Yeah, today was the day, and it's sort of like tax day. You know it's coming. You
right.
keep thinking, you know, maybe something will happen where I don't have to do my taxes. Well, today was the day, and for Falcons, for the organization, Mike, I think they had their mind set. You know, we, me and you, were hoping that they would see our thinking when it comes to this. If you really wanted to save some additional money right. and maybe be a player in free agency and go get maybe some defensive guys
well,
that could help you.
Now, I know that Justin Houston, we talked a lot about him yesterday. That's a pipe dream. I get that. But, I mean, all right, okay, we've got some money here now for a little bit. We got to obviously take care of our draft class.
Right.
You with me, though, on bringing Bruce Irvin back?
No doubt.
I'd love to have Bruce Irvin. Even if
no
I got it, you know, 2 years, 3 years, whatever it takes, the guy still has something left in the tank. He contributed last year. Hopefully pushes Vic. The good news is, guys, if we get that transformative defensive tackle, and I know that we're kind of, you and I are tunnel vision now, and the last time we did this, we thought for sure we're going linebacker in 16 and wound up being a safety.
Yeah.
But I just still think it's going to be defensive tackle at 14.
Well, I think, number one, if you're doing this in the draft, and I always, you know, I go back and forth. Every year it changes. But if your football team, our Falcons, decide that this is how they're going to approach free agency, all right, you could easily draft an offensive lineman in the first round. It just doesn't make any sense. Now that you spent this money on two guys that can jump in and immediately start for you. So my train of thought is we are going defense, but where? I've said this. If you have a safety on the board, or excuse me, a corner on the board for the Falcons, and this may not be our board, but if they say, you know, Greedy Williams or DeAndre Baker is rated higher than one of these defensive tackles, that's the part of the equation we don't know. I'm with you. I think that's where we're going because Dan Quinn realizes what he needs up front.
After everything reset after the combine, we'll tell you a little bit later about Kyler Murray's pro day, which he did down in Oklahoma. It looked to be really good throwing the football. But after the combine, everything resets. DeAndre Baker, all the scouts have told us, he did not do a good job up there. Now, he has another shot coming up with Georgia's pro day, which is on the way. But Baker, Greedy, I would still – and the problem is that Christian Wilkins, who I really like, is rated anywhere between – 15 and 25.
Yeah, a little bit higher.
So, but I know that you like Ed Oliver. Either way, I don't think you'd go wrong either way with Wilkins or Ed Oliver.
No, and again, if we go Montez Sweat, there are two positions.
That's another dude. He's a beast.
I'll say it now. I'll say it till draft night, all right? If we go D-tackle or edge rusher, I'm going to be very happy. I just believe that's where we can get better as a defense. I think our back half can be really good, Mike. And I know there's some question marks about, you know, Oliver out there now stepping in as a starter. You think True's going to come back and maybe be a Pro Bowl-type player for you?
He's talking about Isaiah Oliver.
Isaiah Oliver, yes, the corner. I'm sorry. And then, obviously, we got Keanu Neal coming back. You got KZ. I think our back half can be really good. But we got to get pressure, man, and we got to be able to stop the run. Now, Grady is one of the better run-stopping defensive tackles in the league, but – you can't just have one of those guys and expect to be really good in the NFL. So that's why my belief is that's where Dan Quinn is going. Also, let's be honest, it's a specialty. He loves D-linemen.
Right.
And now he is, in essence, the guy that's making the calls. if this doesn't add up to you, I don't know what does, but he could surprise us and go a different route.
Well, certainly, guys, you got to go D-tackle. If you feel that Dan Quinn thinks his job is on the line, he's got to put up some good numbers and get some stops on defense. Then, of course, you could also go defensive tackle, defensive end in the draft. We haven't really talked about that.
No,
what if you go edge rusher, somebody falls in the second round? And then I think the way I saw it, I was talking about this with a couple of Falcon fans that are also faction members here watching, getting ready for United, watching all the shenanigans in the tailgate. I was saying, you know what? I feel that Quinn gets the first two, and then Dimitrov gets the rest of the draft. Now, we've argued about how the co-team builders work on this, but you feel me? That when it comes to two stud defensive players, DQ, I got this. Now, Thomas, your specialty, go find me a running back, or, you know, in the fourth round. Go find me another tight end. You know, and the other pieces. Offensive line, they basically said, we don't do this in draft. We're going to continue to do this through free agency.
I just don't know if there's a transformative offensive lineman to take in this
year's
He's in the second round. I don't know if you do that this year. I wouldn't if I was the Falcons. So, for me, I'm not thinking that way. But I hear you. I would say this, too.
Well, just real quick, one caveat before we get to your take on that. If you go and you find a starting offensive lineman, you've got salary control for at least 4 years.
4 years.
And you've got to pay Keanu Neal, Debo, who Joel Corey's going to tell you the market's insane now for safeties and even inside linebackers. So I'm just saying for some salary cap relief, imagine if you could pick up a big offensive lineman who you got control over for 4 years.
Yeah, and he's got to be able to play for you too. And listen, they're out there. I love Falcon fans who are like, man, we can't find anybody third or fourth round. Every other team is. Every other team is finding guys in the third, fourth, fifth round who are playing for those guys. But what I was going to say, Mike, when it comes to who gets the first couple of picks or not, if you're a believer that our offense being better becomes our best defense, okay, then that's why it's important to continue to do what you're saying. And my point is, Dan Quinn may be in these meetings, Mike, and thinking about our defense and saying, listen, we get everybody back healthy, we're going to be okay. But our offense has to get back to a level of elite play because then that helps our defense out. Our offense is you're getting off the field three and out, three and out, three and out. Any defense is going to be gassed. No defense is going to be effective. We weren't as consistent offensively, and Chuck Smith alluded to this. When we weren't, it put a lot of pressure on our defense. And I'm just saying, sometimes you got to think backwards about this, but I still think we go defensive tackle.
And, guys, as Carl pointed out, Chuck Smith over to Twin Peaks last week said, why do you think Vic was so successful in 16? Because he was scoring 31, 35 points a game.
And you can pin your ears back.
You're taking away a team's ability to run the football.
Yep.
Quarterback's going to be back there for your guys to go and get him. Didn't hurt that you had a guy like Dwight Freeney on the other side, too. But I get what Chuck is saying. Let's just hope, guys, if we're scoring points, the year we went to the Super Bowl, the defense was just good enough. And you guys know the history. 17, defense was fantastic, and the offense couldn't score in the red zone.
A little backwards. Hey, text us, guys, 404-741-0929. It is our Falcon Report brought to you by Domino's.
Hey, man, how about a medium three-tapping pizza, whether you're watching soccer, you're watching baseball, whatever you're watching, make Domino's a part of the party. Go carry out, guys. Go to Domino's.com for the details.
All right. Also, follow us on Twitter. It's 929 The Game. That's the radio station. Like the station on Facebook as well, if you've not done that, guys. And, of course, you can follow Mike and I. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C. Dukes. The radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. We had a great conversation. You're going to get a chance to hear it with Joel Corey talking about some of the big deals that are already in place and now have become official in the NFL, including Le'Veon Bell, A.B., Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham. Huge trade last night. I don't think anybody saw that coming. But also, what about these Falcon contracts and how they're structured? Jermon Brown and James Carpenter, the two guards we just picked up, but also looking ahead to the big deals on the table for Grady and Julio.
Right. Joel does a great job. He breaks it down. Antonio Brown laughing all the way to the bank. Le'Veon Bell, people laughing at him.
Rightfully so. Here's the deal, guys. Le'Veon Bell gets a deal from the Jets. If you've not heard this, $52 million, 4 years. But his per-year average and what he was seeking is not what he wanted.
Earl Thomas played, got injured, and is making a comparable salary, maybe a little bit more, than what you're going to see Le'Veon Bell get. It also hurts. It hurts for Tevin Coleman, by the way.
It does.
The market for the running backs, it's going up for safeties and linebackers and down again for running backs.
All right. Joe Corey's on the way. By the way, Bo Morgan, real quick, anything on Coleman? A lot of people saying he was linked to a bunch of teams today. Anything on Tevin Coleman?
I've seen nothing of Tevin Coleman as of late. He has been linked to teams, but there's been no reported deal yet.
All right, guys, we'll keep you informed. Stay right here. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We're live in the Gulch, having a good time, getting ready for Atlanta United tonight. Monterey, it's leg two of this match, CONCACAF Champions League. Got to send a big shout-out to LaTosha Brooke in Douglasville, Mike. She wins the tickets that we were giving away a little bit earlier. Travis Scott live in concert at State Farm Arena Friday, March 22nd. We will continue to give you an opportunity to win those tickets between now and Tuesday, so stay tuned here to Dukes and Bell.
All right, man. People are excited. A little bit of anxiousness about what are we going to do against Monterey. We know it's a big uphill battle, but hopefully we're going to be respectable tonight in the second leg of this this round of CONCACAF Champions League. But other big stories today, Carl, and the biggest story of the day, all the wackiness. I say it's the craziest free agency period in NFL history.
It's bananas. With trades, I mean stars being traded, big signings, the money continues to go up. Every year we go, well, they're not going to pay that. It's been unbelievable. And here to help us kind of, you know, examine things is a guy that does it every day, a former agent. His name's Joel Corey. It's our strong arm story of the day.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
This is a guy that has been a part of our show, and Joel does a lot of stuff around the country for CBS Sports as well. Former agent. But when I want to get some info, like I did with Matt Ryan, and throw things off of him, because he's the guy to go, that's stupid. That's crazy.
He's like our Shell answer man. It's our sounding board.
Yeah. So he joins us right now to talk about some of the deals that have already gone down in the National Football League. And, Joel, thank you so much. Let's start with our Falcons, man. And, you know, what you said to me as far as, okay, they could do that with Matt Ryan is exactly what they did, is they moved some money to free up about $7 million worth of cap space, and then they go sign a couple of guards, Jamon Brown and James Carpenter. But the way these deals are structured, these guys, and help me with this, Joel, these guys and these two guards we're getting basically are getting paid up front. Most of the guaranteed money, you know, for what it's worth is going to be in the first year or two here?
Yeah, well, basically, you took the $7 million of cap room you got from Matt Ryan, and that's being used in 2018 on these two guys because their collective first-year cap numbers are a little over $7.2 million. There's $12.5 million fully guaranteed signing for Brown, $7 million for Carpenter. Brown's is $18.75 million over 3 years. Carpenter, 21 over 4 years. That's about where Mark Glowinski was, who signed early with Indianapolis. So I guess that's kind of going rate for a guard, even though you're paying these guys more than your incumbent right tackle.
You know, the thing is, Joel, we knew we were never going to have a lot of money, but Matt did, you know, did his part. Again, he's not giving away money, just moving money up to the front. Is this, from your perspective, makes sense, though? I mean, as far as we're limited liability down the road with these guys.
Well, if you were going to play the restructure, kick the can down the road game, ideally you do it with guys who are going to be on the roster long term.
Right.
It takes Matt Ryan's 2019 cap number from 22.8 to 15.8, but you're raising his 2020 through 2023 cap numbers by $1.75 million. So now his cap number in 2020 is 33.55, 2021, 36.05, 2022, 36.8, and 2023, 31.75. Large cap numbers.
Yikes.
Yeah, they really are. But again, for me, I just want to see the best football team we can get right now on the field, and I'm willing to sacrifice
that. We want to win the Super Bowl this year, Joel, but that's, but you know, Joel's like my, man, he's like my financial advisor. Thanks for the bad news, Joel.
It is Joel Corey joining us, guys. Joel, what do you make of the Le'Veon Bell deal? He lost out, right? I mean, when you talk about what he wanted and then ultimately what he got.
That was never going to work out from him, at least to me, from a financial standpoint. Because how I would evaluate a contract extension offer was, okay, if we turn this down, what do we have to do in free agency? So you look at what your break-even point would be. Since he made nothing last year, and the Pittsburgh offer had reportedly $33 million in the first 2 years, $47 million in the 45 to 47 in the first three, and was like 70 to 75 over five. So if you take the low end of that amount, then he basically had to get a little over 55 over four for the total value, just to break even, which he didn't do from the base value. And I don't think he's getting 33 in the first year, because that's what he had. That's where he would have been after two in Pittsburgh. So it never made sense to me to trade a peak earning year for potential career longevity at a position which has a shorter shelf life, and you don't get paid on the back end because Adrian Peterson just is supposedly signing for $8 million over 2 years, and he's in his early to mid-30s. So Le'Veon Bell's never making that money back. He's not even the highest-paid running back in the league. So he's happy. He's probably happy he got the guaranteed money more so than in Pittsburgh, but not a smart move to me financially.
Yeah, as we said to start the show, you're never going to recoup that lost $14 million in that signing bonus. Joel Corey's with us, guys. Agent, cap expert, our go-to guy when it comes to cap and all things NFL here on the WadeFord.com hotline. At the end of the day, Earl Thomas basically makes the same money as Le'Veon Bell with his deal with the Ravens. That deal make sense for you? Safety's getting paid this year.
Yeah. I thought he would be the safety that got paid. I don't know about the other ones because last year safeties could have held up a "We'll work for food" sign and nobody wanted to give him a contract. But you've got Landon Collins, who signs for 84 over 6, which I didn't see coming. Tyrann Mathieu goes for 42 over 3. In my target price article for CBS that was up last week, I had Earl Thomas going for 56 over 4 with 30 fully guaranteed at signing. So him getting just under that in the overall value and 32 in guarantees, that's about where I pegged it.
Joe, I want to bring it back to the Falcons real quick. Help our listeners understand, again, what you think it might take to get a long-term deal done with both Grady and Julio. Let's start with Grady first. He's been franchise tagged. I think it's 15.2 is the franchise tag number. What do you think the guaranteed money we're talking about for Grady Jarrett, again, from the Falcons and what that might look like?
Well, he was in my article as well, and I thought the overall deal would have to be about $17 million per year. And the amount fully guaranteed at signing, if you take two franchise tags, then you're going to be close to $34 million. So you probably have to be in that same neighborhood. The agent represents Aaron Donald and also Fletcher Cox. So he's not either one of those guys, but if you take Fletcher Cox's deal, which was done in 2016, convert it to the current cap environment, that's $21 million per year. So what Fletcher Cox actually signed for, which is right about $17 million per year, which coincidentally is a little more than the average of two franchise tags, is probably the right ballpark for him. I know the Falcons are going to use Sheldon Richardson as indicative of the market. He's about $13 million per year, but that's under the franchise tag. So if you're thinking you're going to sign him for $13 million per year, he's going to play in the tag and then try to hit it again next year.
So there's really, I mean, I guess Falcon fans are asking, can you just load up? Everybody just assumes, Joel, you can load up on that signing bonus to lessen the cap hit. And it just it gets to a point where it's not feasible with Grady?
Well, if you do a long-term deal with Grady, the first-year cap number at most would be half of the franchise tag. In particular, it'd be a lot lower. Could be a third if you do the signing bonus, option bonus model you've done with some other guys like Matt Ryan and Desmond Trufant, because then you really don't have a – you have a very small first-year cap number, but you can get into trouble with that model because that's why you had so much proration when you cut Sam Baker. So if you get a long-term deal done, you are going to get – pretty significant cap relief.
Joe Corey joining us here. I want you to follow up, if you would, on Julio, because now we see AB, Antonio Brown, get his deal ripped up and then guaranteed $30 million. Joe, I've never seen that. I'll be honest. I don't know if you have in your history of being an agent. You ever seen a guy get out of a place, not have guaranteed money, and the team he goes to rips up the deal and gives him $30 million guaranteed?
That's highly unusual, and also the fact that he was doing what a lot of people, including myself, thought was the wrong way to try to get out of town. He did sabotage the trade value because we saw that yesterday with Odell Beckham Jr. going for a first, third, and a player. Granted, there's several years difference in the age, but for Pittsburgh to only get a third and a fifth, and they're going to have $21 million of dead money, that is a clear win for Antonio Bryant. Now, maybe they're thinking it's addition by subtraction, but what this means for Julio Jones is, you said rip up. That's how the team's going to look at it, that it's $50.125 million over 3 years, so that's a shade under $17 million is the average. Now, the agent community is going to look at it a little bit differently. They're going to go, okay, when he signed the extension, that was $6.8 million over 4 years. He's added no new years and got an $11.2 million raise, So that's now $79.2 million of new money without since he signed the extension. So that's now $19.8 million per year. I've maintained that you're probably going to have to pay Julio Jones on the new money, $20 million per year. So let's say you tacked on 3 years. It's $60 million over 3 years. Obviously, some of that money would be shifted backwards, so he's getting it in 19 and 20. He can create about four or five of cap room, depending upon how big of a signing bonus and how much you reduce his base salary. You take it down to the minimum, give him like a $20 million signing bonus. You're picking up that type of cap room, so he's kind of a self-contained deal. And then you guarantee 19 and 20 at signing, and you're probably going to have him like $30 million, maybe a little more fully guaranteed at signing. Maybe have 2021 be conditionally guaranteed where it becomes fully guaranteed, maybe in 20 or maybe if he's still around in 21. But that's how I envision things work with Julio Jones.
Wow. Joel Corey giving us some scary numbers, guys, over the course of the next few seasons. Joel, I mean, to put it down in layman's terms, we better win it all this year, next year, because with Keanu Neal and Deion Jones' contracts coming up, and we've just seen what linebackers and safeties are getting paid. I mean, unless the cap takes a jump of, like, a ridiculous percentage, we better win soon, hey?
Yeah, and I don't think anyone was anticipating those two markets really resetting the way they did, particularly inside linebacker. So, yeah, Quan Alexander becomes the floor for Deion Jones. So, and with the safety market being raised to $14 million, and you even have like LaMarcus Joyner signing for $10.5 million, yeah, Neal's floor goes up. It's probably blown through whatever projections, preliminary projections that the Falcons had, because I don't think anybody could have contemplated C.J. Mosley, who is not the best in pass coverage as an inside linebacker, signing a deal which is reportedly $17 million per year.
We've only got about 30 seconds left with Joel Corey, agent cap expert. Real quick, Joel, the work stoppage, we've got two more seasons, 19 and 20. Are the owners going to push back on these salaries, or is it just going to continue, the cap's going to grow, and the number's going to continue to grow?
Cap should grow. If they can find a way to seriously monetize the new TV deal, particularly with media rights, that could be the saving grace. The deal should be a lot more since there'll be someone who wants to get in as a bidder. Whenever that happens, TV money goes up exponentially. That could be the saving grace because then the cap could go up a lot more than it really could if you have a huge jump in TV money.
Joel, thanks so much, man. We appreciate you as always. I know this is a busy time of year, but bringing your knowledge to Atlanta and certainly explaining some of this stuff, because there is a lot to kind of take in when you start talking about some of these deals and how it affects your football team. Joel Corey, thanks so much, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Good stuff from our man. Again, a guy who was former agent, capologist, writes columns and blogs for CBS, so dialed in. Interesting, guys. A lot of people say Le'Veon Bell really did hose himself.
He did.
You know, you make that $14.5 million, you're not going to recoup that, and he didn't recoup that, Joel's words, in that signing bonus.
I just hope Falcon fans understand, you know, what's at stake as far as what those contracts may look like for Grady and Julio and moving forward as well.
Hey, let's hope that the salary cap just keeps going up, 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 because, boy, oh, boy, the Julio deal, look, as long as Julio scoring touchdowns, we're cool.
No doubt.
Can't go 0-7 the first 7 weeks without a touchdown with that kind of money on the books.
Hey, guys, we're at the Gulch. Atlanta United tonight coming up, top three at 6, but next, in case you missed it.
All right, you know, we know police are always using those, like, walkie-talkies. They've got the microphone right there on their person.
Yeah.
Well, what happens if you're taking a break from the extracurricular activity and the whole precinct hears it?
Uh-oh.
Coming up.
Pretty busy.
Who busy?
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conti.
Have I got good news for you?
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
All right, Mike Conti getting ready for tonight's Atlanta United match. My man Mike Bell, it is time for In Case You Missed It, brought to you by Rooms to Go.
Hey, man, get that headliner. It's a great piece of furniture, like everything else at Rooms to Go that Mike Conti tells you about when he gives you the In Case You Missed It. One thing is, when Mike is on his way down to Mercedes-Benz to call the game with Jason Longshore, we get to cover some subject matter that Mike might stray away from.
This is true. This is true. What do you got?
I got a dirty story full of filth, Lauren, filth.
Dirty?
Yes. So for kids under the age of 10, well, who am I to tell your kids how to legislate your morality? Anyway, let's take a listen to this little story, which it's so funny because when I started reading this in the New York Post, NewYorkPost.com today, it's my brother's old precinct in East New York. My kid brother did his first 5 years in the 7-5. Anyway, New York Police Department investigating claims that a Brooklyn cop's body camera inadvertently recorded audio of her performing a specific act on her boss inside a squad car while on the job.
Are you serious?
During a recent midnight tour, it's always at night, midnight tour in East New York. And by the way, the 7-5 precinct, to give you guys a feel of the reference, that's the neighborhood from Goodfellas. King of the, remember Henry Hill?
Yes.
That's basically where all those guys grew up. That's by LaGuardia Airport in Queens. But anyway, it's where Brooklyn meets with Queens. The NYPD investigating during the midnight tour in the 75th precinct, officer and her sergeant being the boss, purportedly.
Oh, little control there, huh?
Started getting frisky inside their squad car, with the female cop tucking her body camera into her vest, thinking it was off.
Oops.
During the action, the camera switched on, capturing audio that left little to the imagination, sources said.
So they got all the audio. Oh, man.
Female officer can be heard gushing to her lover about the apparent sex act they were doing and then done. The recorded rendezvous was likely uncovered by a precinct superior during a routine review of the couple's body camera footage after their shift.
Yikes.
You wonder what happens with all the video and the body cam. It all goes into a database.
Yeah.
So they got a supervisor downloading some homemade porn, in essence.
And he's like, wait a minute. Who is this? Oh, that's Sergeant such and such.
Yes, soon to be former Sergeant so and so. Anyway, there's no. I know you. As soon as I looked at this, I'm like, where's the pictures? No pictures, but yeah. You get more
where's
details.
The evidence? Where's the evidence?
More details at NYPD.com. All right, a story. This is a serious story. Carl and I were talking about this off the air today because, you know, we travel about once a month, and I know my wife is always traveling for work, and we are Atlanta's, is the home for Delta, your hometown airline. And I was talking to a couple of guys that work as pilots. I won't say what airline, but they were saying there's definitely some issues with the 737 MAX. There was a crash in Malaysia or Indonesia. There's another crash in Ethiopia. President Trump Wednesday announcing the administration and the FAA ordering the Boeing 737 MAX jets grounded until more information is gathered about the crash of an Ethiopian aircraft. Apparently, whether it's new software or simply there's some new tweaks to the 737 and the previous pilots thought they could handle it, apparently this thing takes a little bit of a nosedive after takeoff. Apparently there's some issues in the takeoff portion, which is giving people some trouble.
Yeah, I've been following this story, Mike, and first and foremost, this is what needed to be done. You have had two plane accidents now with the same airline that's fairly new to the fleet.
Yeah, new airplane. Right.
And the 737 MAX. And, you know, there are tons of different airlines around the world that are flying 737s.
Right.
So the MAX, what is going on? And for me, I've always said this. You know, I'm listening to these aviation experts. Mike and I talk about this. You know, we're not, you know, masochists, but we watch this show, Air Disasters.
On Smithsonian.
And, you know, for all the years that I flew, and I've said this, I've been in every small college town in the country. I flew small airlines. I've been on prop jets. Won't do that again. I've always had a chance to talk to pilots. I've even been in on planes, my charter flights, where I've been in the cockpit taking things in. And I've always been fascinated with it. And the one thing that all these pilots say is, more times than not, it's pilot error. Right. 99% of these accidents that happen is pilot error. But for this and what's going on, we don't know.
Other countries around the world have grounded the MAX, 737 MAX. Canada is the most recent, and now President Trump and the FAA getting ahead of it. Look, I mean, I'm like you, man, old school. If it ain't Boeing, I ain't going. I always feel a little sketchy when I'm on an Airbus because I've seen the documentaries of how they're made, you know, with parts coming from all over Europe and then put together in France. But anyway, in all seriousness, let's hope they get this straightened out.
I agree.
Because the 737 is the workhorse, basically, of aviation here in the States and around the world.
Yeah.
All right, man.
It's an interesting story.
How about Facebook, Instagram? How much social media are you on every day?
It's interesting. We talk about this. Some people, they've estimated spend 3 to 4 hours a day on social media. This is why, you know, we come off the weekend and sometimes I miss things and I go, I have a life. I say that because I don't want to be on social media hour after hour because you can find yourself honestly doing it 5-6 hours a day if you wanted to.
Right. Like that movie Ready Player One, once they won the game, they said, we're going to take this thing offline 2 days a week.
Yeah.
Well, if you are a junkie for Instagram or Facebook, today was a tough day. Massively popular social network started having problems around noon Eastern time, issues popping up across Facebook Messenger, and Instagram around the world.
Wow.
Service outage, one of the longest Facebook has ever experienced. As of right now, USA Today saying the service has not been fully restored around the world and in parts of North America. Engineer with Network Performance said the outage was due to an accidental traffic jam issue with a European internet company that collided with Facebook and other website servers.
If you want to ruin someone's day, Mike, take social media down.
Right.
I mean, seriously. Like when Facebook goes down or Twitter goes down, I can't believe it's down. Like people can't check in. People lose their minds. Dude, I was on Facebook and I don't know what's going on. Like the world stops when these services go offline. It is amazing. I mean, seriously, if you really want to wreck America, that's what someone needs to do is shut down social media and see how people react.
Now, I don't know if I'm a face bragger, but I only go on Facebook when I got something to talk about. Like, hey, I'm in a cool spot, or like Becky and I are at a sporting event. I'm not sitting there like, oh, you know what I did today? I just totally reorganized my closet. Okay, that's not something that's worth it. Went shoe shopping. That's not something necessarily that's face-worthy, post-worthy. All right, real quick.
How much time do you spend on it?
You know, just post a picture when I'm on the phone. I don't really sit there and look at stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, every now and again, if I, you know, get that prompt for your buddy at high school. The cool thing I like about Facebook is it got me to help reconnect with all my old high school buddies.
Sure.
And the cool thing, we like Coach Peterson, my old high school football coach, he listens online down in Florida. And if we do an interview, he'll be like, I've shown you the text. That was a good question. Or that was a stupid question. So just like high school, I'm still getting my chops busted by Coach P.
I
love the reconnecting with old friends.
Here's the deal with Facebook for me, and I've said this. I'm on it, but I'm not on it. There is something there, but I'm not on it like most people. The thing for me is, like, if something happens, it's the only way really now for folks to find out, like, friends that you knew 20 years ago that you're still in kind of, like, that's really, people don't call each other anymore.
Right.
So that's the way to find out, oh, such and such is in the hospital or whatever.
Right. Just happened recently with a buddy of mine who had a heart surgery. Yeah, it all got through Instagram.
Yeah, that's the only way you really find out. But the problem for me is how involved you get when you're on there, Mike, and all of a sudden somebody posts something and you're like, you respond, somebody else responds. Next thing you know, it's 30 people and you've been on there for 45 minutes.
Everything in moderation.
Yeah, man.
Everything in moderation. Hey, guys, further proof that everybody in Southern California is just awful and terrible people. In light of the Lori Loughlin, Aunt Becky allegedly paying $500,000 to pretend her daughter was on the rowing team to get into USC.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A Los Angeles Times survey this morning. Over 37% of respondents said, yes, if they could spend less than $5,000 to help get their child into a college, they would spend it.
I would, too. College is expensive.
So if you could $5,000 bribe, you'd do it.
It's expensive. Listen, college is putting people in debt before they even get out of college.
37% of the people saying they fudge their kids' records to get them in school.
It doesn't surprise me at all.
Unbelievable.
Hey, man, in case you missed it, brought to you by Rooms to Go, it is Dukes and Bell. We're down here at the Gulch, guys. Coming up top three at 6, the Falcons, free agency, United, Hawks, back in action tonight. It's all on the way here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.